Let you know that I didn't change the time of the Sunday night service just because so we could see the Super Bowl or anything. or the other wrestling events or anything like that. Praise the Lord.
That was really funny.
Praise God. Everybody say love. Everybody say love. Do you believe that love is the greatest gift? Love is the greatest gift. I believe we need more of that in our society, don't we? Amen. A lot of times we get love mixed up, and we say we know what love really means. It's a feeling, an emotion. We fall in love. We use all these phrases and things, but I believe we should go to the Bible to see what love means, don't you? What does God tell us about love? Well, without love, you have no church. Without love, you have no marriage. Without love, you have no life. Without love, judgment becomes your priority. Judgment comes to you very easily. How many has made quick judgments on people before? Yeah, too quick. I don't know if y'all ever heard of this preacher's name, but his name is Charles Swindoll. I love to hear Charles preach and teach the word. And he tells us of a story where this couple came to him and said, "Oh, we traveled this far to this conference." He was teaching a conference, and it was all week long. In this conference, the man was so excited to be there. He said, "Charles, I want to hear you preach. I'm so glad I got to come to this conference to hear you." And on the next day, when it came time for him to preach, he would nod and fall asleep during his preaching. Monday. Tuesday night, fell asleep again while he was preaching. Wednesday night, and so it kind of perturbed Charles. Why is this person falling asleep after he told me he's really excited about hearing me preach? Thursday, it begins to happen. And so he's just really fuming. You know, what's going on here? Why is this person doing this? Fall asleep in my preaching. And then later that night, on the last night of the conference, they come to Charles, the wife does, and says, "I appreciate you for being kind to my husband. The doctors only gave him 2 weeks to live. And because of the treatments that he's going through, it's hard for him to stay awake at times." And he said he felt like crawling under a chair or whatever because of the embarrassment, because he made a quick judgment. I believe the church in the past and even now makes quick judgments on people, whether it be maybe what they wear or where they came from or who they are. We make really quick judgments on people. And I believe that we really need to be careful about that, that we need to look at them through the lens that God has. Because if love is not our priority, then what good is prophecy? If love is not our priority, then what good are good deeds? Why would we have good works if love is not the priority? If love is not the essential ingredient, then we won't have any fruit. There'll be no fruit. There'll be no spiritual maturity. And God wants us to grow in His Word. And a lot of times we get it mixed up on what spiritual maturity is, and we think it's the number of years that you've been saved that equals spiritual maturity. But that's not really what spiritual maturity is. Because there's people that's been saved 50 years that has the maturity of a person who's been saved 1 year. And they think because they know Genesis to Revelation that they have spiritual maturity. That don't mean nothing. That just means you know the Bible, but do you apply it? Because we have got to go from information to application. You can have, oh, listen, we live in a very well informed society. Every information, we get bombarded with information. I mean, we can't even retain it. So I see a problem. I see a problem. I see many people, they want the information, but they don't know how to apply the information. And I believe that the only way that we can apply the information that is found in the Word of God for our daily living is for love to be our first priority. If we don't have love in our hearts, and if we don't have love in our lives, no one will come to the Lord Jesus. Very few people get judged into the kingdom of God. Many people get loved into the kingdom of God. In the end, you don't argue people to your beliefs. No one was ever won to the Lord by an argument. Love is the best defense for Christianity. And we have a lot of people standing in defense of Christianity. Yes, the Bible is the true Word of God. Yes, it is. It's infallible. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. But people read the language of love. They read the language of love. And if we as a church, if we let love be our priority, then we will mature. We will grow. Listen, if we let love take place, prophecy will take place for itself. It will. If we make love our number one priority, the anointing will begin to flow. Because if love is our priority, then we don't have a problem praying with each other, do we? Because God is calling us to get away from from judging too quickly, getting to the heart of the matter. Love covers a multitude of sins. And if we have love in our hearts for people, when people say, "Why are you still talking to me?" It's called love. "Why are you still pursuing me? We got into an argument last week and it was really bad and we're still talking to each other." Yeah, it's called love. "But we had a really big disagreement." There was a husband and wife one time told each other, they thought, "Well, we're going to write complaints down what we're not happy about. I'm going to write down what I'm not happy about you, and you're going to write down what you're not happy about me." And so the husband looks at the wife looks at the husband and says, "Ooh," and she just starts getting mad, getting more mad. More, just getting angry. "I'm not happy about this, I'm not happy about that, I'm not happy about this." And the husband wrote on every line, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you." And the wife said, "I feel bad for writing all this now." And he said, "I'm angry at you, but I love you. I'm angry right now, but I love you. I don't know what to do, but I love you, and I'm here to stay. Because if I determine in my heart to stay, the love is worth fighting for. And if I'm going to stay and be determined and say, you know what, I'm not going to let a problem push me out of God's will. I'm not going to let sin push me out of God's will." And y'all are looking at me like, "It's okay to be angry. It's okay." Listen, you're going to have conflict. There's going to be conflict. We're not in heaven. Hello. We're not in heaven. But God gives us some guidelines and he says, "Look, you'll have conflict, but if you let love be your priority, love will see you through." It will. Why has this church been going? Why is it going? Love. If you never start with love, you'll never mature and bear fruit. We're saved. God wants us to grow. I remember as a kid, I'd go to my uncle's house, and he had an apple tree. And in season, when it was in season, we would go and eat off that tree. All the family would go over there and eat off that apple tree. See, when I went over there, I knew what I was going to get. That's the way it is with spiritual mature people. You know where you're going to get with people who are mature. Because people who are spiritually immature, they can get offended real easy. Real easy. And they're very hyper self-focused. A good example to use is when a child doesn't get their way, right? Right? Crying, screaming. That's what a spiritually immature person does. When you say, you know what? I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with God's people. And I'm not going to have an emotional outburst, a ridiculous emotional outburst. I'm just going to say, I think I'm going to stick with God's people. I think I'm going to stick with God. You know what? It may take a year before we can get through this. It may take 2 years. But you're looking at a man that will not give up on you. Will not. Will not. Doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many sins. If you knew my life, you wouldn't even love me. You want to make a bet? I don't gamble, by the way. Love, 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 love. Now the greatest of these is love. Love, faith, hope. The greatest of these is love. Paul said, if I give my body to be burned as a martyr, and I don't have love, I'm nothing. I don't have it. If I give all my goods to the poor and I don't have love, I'm nothing. Listen, your mistakes and your sins and your failures, they're not going to keep me from loving you. And they won't keep God from loving you. But I've made mistakes, Pastor. Well, you're not a mistake. Amen. You're not a mistake. A lot of times we think our mistakes keep us from God. But God says, let your mistakes run you to Him. The Lord wants us to love. To grow up. And so when I went, going back to my uncle, when I went to my uncle's house, man, we would get those apples, man, we'd get the fruit, right? It was there, the tree was mature. And we'd go, and everybody benefited from my uncle. When you're spiritually mature, people are going to benefit from you. They are. They would want to be around you because they get satisfied. Their hunger. Listen now, what's the purpose of fruit? To fulfill your appetite, your hunger. This is easy. Right? Let go, let God. Do we even know what that means? Do we even know what let go, let God means? Listen, I want to tell you some of the battles that you've been through. Listen, I've been there. Let me give you a surprise. I'm going through a battle right now. Hello? Listen, I'm just a beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. That's it. I'm not a man to level himself higher than anybody else. As a matter of fact, I'm here to serve. Can I wash someone's feet? Can I serve someone? If that is not on your heart to serve people and to love people, then what on earth are you serving the Lord for? I don't think you're really serving the Lord. If love is not your priority, you're not really serving God. You're serving yourself. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is not self-seeking. And anytime we are hyper-focused upon ourselves, we miss the whole point of the matter, which is to love people. Love people. And when we begin to let love rule our lives, people will be satisfied and their hunger will be filled. People, it's hard for people to connect with people who don't love. Let love be your priority. And see, you know you are spiritually mature when your unfulfilled expectations don't take you away from God. How many's ever been disappointed? I had great expectations. Those expectations weren't fulfilled. Lord, I thought you said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you. I have hope for you. I have a future for you." Whatever happened to that? Lord, where are you at? Where are you at, God? Am I wasting my time right now? What am I? Lord, where are you at? Where are you at? Because right now, we've all had those thoughts. Some of you came in here with doubts this morning. You came in with doubts. Fear. Anxiety. And God still took you in. What about that? There's a church that still took you in. Even in my sin, he bled. Don't know it, but you know what I'm saying. And died for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. Why would we get away from the simplicity of the gospel? His blood washes away my sins, so therefore he takes me in. I'm not perfect. But when I make a mistake and when I do fall, he picks me back up and I keep serving the Lord and I keep going on for God. Keep going. You know why I can keep going? It's not because I don't make any mistakes. I can keep going because I know his presence is always there. And when the church really gets a hold of this message, when love is your number one priority. When love becomes, listen, love is what will make you write letters of encouragement to people you don't even know. That's called love. Right? Love is when you serve when you don't feel like it. That's called love. Right? Because if we live by feelings, we become self-centered, don't we? But God is raising us up to abandon ourselves. The most miserable people are people who always focus on themselves. Miserable. They're not content. They can't be satisfied. Nothing ever. They can't be. There's no contentment. So they're always focusing on self. But I guarantee you, as I'm preaching to you today, when you start focusing on meeting other people's needs and you start serving them, your life will totally change. It'll change. Because people become more important. God becomes more important. See, the level of my maturity is linked with how selfish I may be. If I'm selfish, then I'm not a very spiritual, mature person. And I believe that when love becomes our number one priority, and I said that a lot this morning, when it becomes our number one thing, you'll mature. You'll grow. God will start talking to you. Instead of asking, "God, where are you?" you'll be saying, "Lord, you told me to serve. And if I serve, that'll facilitate the presence of God in my life." Did you get it? Did you catch it? If I serve, it'll facilitate the presence of God in my life. So instead of asking God, "God, where are you? Why did you let these disappointments happen in my life? I didn't expect my life to be this way when I turned 30. I didn't expect my life to be this way when I turned 40, 25. What in the world is going on?" You're being self-focused. That's why you're unhappy. But when you begin to serve other people, you tap into the purpose that God gave you. Who in here wants to tap into the purpose God gave you? And when you begin to serve other people, you begin to love people with everything that you have, that'll speak louder than anything else will. It'll speak so loud. But God demonstrated. Everybody say demonstrated. But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, he died for us. Man, I was an enemy to God, and God came to me while I was his enemy. And that leads me to this point. Spiritually immature people make Christians their enemies. And make people their enemies. Listen, I don't have time to make you my enemy. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to sit around and dwell on, what if this person has hidden motives? I need to keep this wall up to protect myself. Maybe God wants you to be vulnerable and honest and transparent. And say, yes, Lord, look at right now. I struggle with this. This is what I'm going through, God. You're going to have to help me. People, this is what I'm going through. I need help. But I believe a lot of times people don't go to the church or even go to God because they don't perceive the church or God as a place of love. They're afraid they're going to get the gavel out and they're going to place judgment on those people. Listen, judgment won't change you. Will not change you. Love will. What did he say? What did he say right here? He said in verse 4 of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, does it say judgment suffers long? Does it say judgment is kind? Judgment does not envy. Judgment does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Judgment does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does he say in verse 7, judgment bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things? No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say judgment never fails. He said love never fails. And I'm here to tell you that God's love is here. And he can change your life for the better. And if you'll focus on his love for you, praise God. Nothing will turn you back. Nothing will turn you away from the Lord. Nothing. Because love is the main thing. Church, will we love people? Won't we love people? Can we do that? Can we love each other? Are we willing to sacrifice to serve each other and say, you know what? I know you're not perfect and I know you're going through some things, but we're going to go through this together. Because I'm telling you right now, the people here in this church, listen, everybody you see, your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, they're going through some things. They're going through some things. And they haven't told anybody. And I want to tell you this. You're probably looking around and you're like, is anybody going through what I'm going through? Is anybody going through? Yeah. Look around. You're looking at wounded warriors. Wounded in the battle. And they still love. Love the ones who mistreat them. Love the ones who cuss at them. Love the ones who don't treat them right? Don't treat them right, and they still love. Jesus really set the standard high, didn't he, when he said, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. There's nothing like expressing love to people. Because I'm telling you, listen, if you want your family back, if you want your marriage back, if you want your life back, stop focusing on yourself. Start focusing on other people and God. It will absolutely, positively change your life. You say, well, Brother Sam, I don't know a whole lot of Bible verses. Listen, it's not the amount of Bible verses you know that equals spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is when you can love people in spite of their sin. You love people in spite of what they're going through. You're always there for them. Your hand is always reaching out to them. You're always there. Amen. Always. Amen. Am I against knowing the Bible? No, I'm not. But it doesn't equal spiritual maturity. Love is a demonstration And listen, as a pastor and as a leader, I'm not here to control you. I don't want to control you. I don't want to manipulate. I don't want to guilt people. Because I want you to live out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not our mission to control people. We're good at that, aren't we? And the reason why some of us, we try to control people is because we got fear in our own hearts. We've got insecurity in our own hearts. And so because of that, we can't control ourselves. We don't have any self-control. So since we don't have any self-control, we've got to control other people because we feel safer that way. But once you become vulnerable and honest and transparent before God and others, your life will totally, totally change. I love shouting. I love glorifying God. I love this stuff. But what good is a shouting church if there's no love in it? What good is the loud amen if there's no love in it? What good is it? What good is it? What good is this big building that God gave us and we meet here every Sunday and every Wednesday? And love is not our priority. We missed the mark. We've missed the mark. And God is calling us to love each other radically and to serve each other. That's what God is calling us to. I just want to tell you that spiritual maturity is not measured by time, but it's measured by how much you love. Spiritually immature people have a hard time loving people. Well, I don't know if I can forgive that person. You need to grow up. Well, I don't know. I just don't know if I just don't know if I can love those Christians. I just don't know. You need to grow up. You got some growing to do. You say, well, Pastor Sam, we got to tell the truth. We got to tell them like it is. Isn't that what love is? Isn't that what love is? We tell them like it is, and we're still there, and we're giving them the solution. Because some people who say that, we got to tell it like it is. You gotta tell it like it is. You gotta tell it like it is. And everybody's like, yeah. I don't want nothing. Right? Scare them to death. When I tell you, look here, I'm telling you this because I love you. It's gonna help you. And I'm going to affirm you. Not just when I correct you, I'm going to affirm you also. Got a judgment. We've got to get rid of the judgment mentality. Right? Now, when it comes to leadership and people are wanting to be a leader, wanting to be in a position, right? I pray about that because I don't want to put a child in charge of other children. Because if you put another child in charge of other children, all you'll have is a bunch of emotionalism. I didn't get my way. You didn't get your way. Then everybody leaves because nobody got their way. Spiritually mature people will still serve God even if they don't get their way. Are you with me this morning? They'll still serve. They'll still go for God. Still go for God. Your quest needs to be about others. Mature Christians live for Christ and live for others. When I was a kid, how many's been fishing? Of course you have. If you're from Tennessee, you've all been fishing. I remember as a kid, me and my dad would go fishing, and I didn't have a lot of patience. And I'd throw the lure in there, the worm, you know, and wait for the fish to bite. And I'd get impatient, and I'd move, and my dad would say, "Son, you got to stay there long enough to catch the fish." I'm going to stay here long enough to catch the fish. Amen. I'm not leaving. Amen. And Brother Sam, what if it takes 10 years? Well, I'll be 40 then, so. I'm going to stay long enough. We're going to catch the fish, and you got to be patient. You got to be patient. I've been talking to that person for a year. They ain't never going to hear me. They hear you. They hear you. as this sister said, they just ignore you. Stay. Stay. And you love them. And you keep loving them. You just keep loving people. It's not hard. It's not hard to do, is it? You just love people. So simple. You know what gets in our way? Flesh. The flesh gets in our way from loving people. I don't measure your spiritual maturity by how high you can jump, how fast you can run, how many services you may attend. I judge it by how much you love people and how much you serve people. And when you serve people and you love people and you sacrifice and you show them the love of God, that shows me your spiritual maturity. Right? How about we get people that wants to serve? That wants to serve. It'll change lives, I'm telling you. It will change lives. Can we be patient? Can I get a yes?
Amen.
And I believe part of growing up is being together. To be together. Do you hear me? We need to be together. That's how we grow. We stay connected. We don't just say, oh, good to see you, sister. See you next week. No, we need a true, genuine connection. This is how we grow. How does your relationship grow with your spouse? You spend time together. That's how you grow. Not texting, by the way. Let you young people know that. You don't get to know anybody with their text messaging. Time together. Quality time together. That's how you grow. What if we don't spend quality time with each other? How are we going to grow? We won't grow. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then he says, do it more. Come together more. When we come together more and we meet together, we are going to grow. And right now, look, I see you now. You're growing. You're growing right now. Through this message, you're growing. See it in the spirit. You're bearing fruit. And people are going to be fulfilled from the fruit that is bearing on your tree. Did you catch that? They will be fulfilled. And today, when we go together and encourage people, they're going to be fulfilled. They are. You say, Brother Sam, you're taking these awkward pauses in your message right now. Because I don't want to go so fast in my message where you don't retain nothing. I want you to remember this. Love, love, love. If you don't start anything with love, it'll never mature. It will never bear fruit. You say, Brother Sam, how do you love people? How in the world do you love people? You serve them. You serve. What can I do? What can I do? And you don't judge people and make quick judgments. When you start making quick judgments, don't give them a chance to enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you hear me? So Charles, that story that I shared with you at the beginning of the message, he made a quick judgment, didn't he? This man's fallen asleep during my sermons. He's fallen asleep during my messages. Made a judgment. Made too quick of a judgment. Friends, don't make a judgment on people. Don't make a judgment. You love them. You tell them what's right. You tell them what's wrong. But you let them know that you're always there for them. If you let that be part of your life, you'll leave behind a legacy. But we don't think 30 years down the road, do we? We don't think 20 years down the road. We see this young generation here, you young people. What I'm telling you is the recipe for success. You love people. Biblical love. Godly love. Who's to say, I don't know how long I'm going to live? Everybody says, Pastor Sam, you're young. You're 30 years old. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Let's say if God took me, who's going to go? Who's going to take this? You got to think down the road. And if the Lord tarries and I'm gone, will someone here lead with love? Will you do that? Will you lead with love? Will you do God a favor and not make judgment on people? Because I'm here to tell you, there are people, they're going through things, and if we ever give them the message that we haven't went through things like they are, and we're not like them, why would they even want to be here? We've all been there. If not, we are going through it, friend. We're going through it. And you say, well, I thought Christianity was about eliminating the hard stuff. It was about eliminating the problems. No, Christianity is about having strength and power to go through the hard stuff and to go through the problems, because problems are going to come. Storms are going to come your way. But if you will love through the storm, if you will love through the problem, if you will love through the difficulty, it will totally change your life. You can say amen to that one.
Amen.
It will change your life. I want you to shout. I want you to praise God. I want you to be loud for God. But don't you ever lose the vision of love. Paul said in the 11th verse of that chapter, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away foolish things. Well, what was he talking about? He's talking about love. And when we don't love people, we are foolish people. And we become childish in our ways, and we become selfish. What are you telling us? What are you telling us? One sentence. If you don't start anything with love, you'll never see it mature and bear fruit. This ministry was born out of love. Let your relationship and let your life be born out of love. You with me? It'll change your life. So what I want us to do, I want us all to gather up to the front if you feel comfortable with it. And we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Somebody take the first step. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You say, Brother Sam, this is awkward. You know, this is uncomfortable for us to come up here and get together. This is awkward. Listen, we're not here to see through each other. I want y'all to listen to this statement. I want you to listen to this statement. We're not here to see through each other. We're here to see each other through. Did y'all catch that? We're here to see each other through. And I'm here to tell you that when we let love become our number one priority, hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. How many wants this church to grow?
Man.
You won't have to beg people. You won't have to beg people to come to church when they know they're not going to be judged. Do you hear me? You don't have to beg people when they know they can come to a church that's full of love. And we let God change them instead of us trying to control them. That's what God wants. And right now I see a family. You say, well, this is my first time here. Welcome to the family.
Amen.
It's my first time here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Because see, we've got a mission, and our mission is to create community. Won't you listen? Our mission is to create community, and through this community, people are going to be changed. By the love of God, they're going to be changed. And so we're going to come together, and you can grab hands with someone, and we'll pray together. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to ask a blessing. God. Hallelujah. Listen, forgiveness and mercy and grace is a part. That's the main part of our lives. It is. And you say, Brother Sam, you make us pray together. A family who prays together.
Amen.
This is why I don't get people to come up to the front and say, oh, I wonder how I can embarrass them now. Oh, I wonder how I can put them on the spot now. It's nothing about putting you on the spot. It's about bringing people closer together. And when we create community, it'll change people's lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, more for giving us the ability to recognize love, that we need love in our lives. And Father, we don't need a Lord, if we lack it, Lord, let us understand your love. Lord, that you sent your Son to die for us while we were yet enemies, sinners. But Lord, you gave your life for us, and now we stand here as a community reaching out to others, Lord, so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And Father, we proclaim souls in Jesus' name. We proclaim salvations in Jesus' name. I want everybody to say that with me. Salvation.
Salvation.
Yes, Lord. We proclaim Holy Spirit baptism in Jesus' name. Lord, we proclaim that people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and be baptized in your wonderful love. Be baptized in your unconditional love. Lord, that they would feel the zeal and the fire of God. But Lord, I pray, God, that you would let us go forward and to walk forward, God, and forget the past. Be a way for us to learn and to go forward in Jesus' name and to progress in your word. Bring us closer together, God. Mature us, God. Let us be mature in your word. Mature in love, Lord. Because, Lord, we want to bear fruit. And, Lord, we want to produce disciples, people who continue in your word, people who continue in your kingdom. We pray that you do this, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all believe it with me?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, we are spiritually mature. And we are going to bear fruit, and people are going to be changed by our closeness and by our love for each other. Y'all receive it?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I love everybody here. I want you to give the Lord a hand clap right now. So good to see Elijah here. I appreciate him. And Winter, my cousin, I appreciate everybody here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tim, good to see everyone. Good to see everyone. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a hand clap.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I just want to let you know that we are going to win souls for the kingdom of God because we are workers for God. We are not just consumers, but we are producers. In the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all receive it?
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you would like, pray right now again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, everyone. We're going to hold service just for a few minutes. A few more minutes here. Hallelujah. I just want to let the church know that I really appreciate Sister Linda here, and I appreciate her prayers and what she has done for us here at this church, and I appreciate our friendship. And this, and correct me if I'm wrong, will this be your last service for a little while? Okay, and she'll be going back to Mississippi. But I want to let you know that the church here, we all appreciate you and we love you. I just want to recognize you and honor you. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Who wants to join the church today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Does anybody want to? Okay. We won't put you. Oh, everybody's raising their hand. If you want to join the church, we just have you come up front. And I won't put you on the spot. Oh, Lord, he's scared to death. I'm sorry. Okay, all right, well, it's this family right here. that's going to join right. Okay, everybody raise your hand, and why don't you give them a hand back. Oh, also, and this, Joseph's back here. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, oh, right here, Brandon. Yes, Marcos.
Shannon feels that we need to raise our hand officially
to
become a member of the church.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, everybody that raised their hands, which was just about everyone here in the church, after church, I want you to go welcome them, hug their neck, shake their hand, and say, so glad that you're deciding to join with us on this mission that God gave us. And also the visitors, people, make sure they feel welcome. And do that, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, you just praise the Lord, aren't you? Sorry. Praise God. Amen. So, I thank you all for being here. Thank you so much. Amen. How many appreciates everybody? Appreciate you here. Amen. Are we going together?
Amen.
Yes, we're going forward together. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, y'all ready for the, let me say one more thing and we'll go ahead and go and we can come back here at 4. What we want to just tighten up on the security just a little bit out in the parking lot. So like when we come to church here, just make sure you lock your doors and everything. Just to be on the safe side, okay? I just wanted to throw that in there. All right, praise the Lord, okay. All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.